Business Minds, presented by the Business Journals of Florida. Brought to you by TECO People's Gas, at the heart of Florida's energy. Private aviation is flying high in the post-COVID world, but what's the outlook as the economy slows? In this download, Jacksonville Business Journal Editor-in-Chief Tim Gibbons checks in with Malone Air Charter CEO Christine Kirk for an update.
Thank you so much for taking the time today to talk to me. It's been fun watching Malone Air Charter as it's grown over the years and then watching recently as you've taken the reins of leadership there. So kind of want to talk about what you've learned over the time that you've been at Malone, your time as owner and CEO of the company, and then kind of your outlook for the industry in the future and all of that sort of thing. Malone Air Charter is one of Jacksonville's fastest growing companies, but it's also a well-established company. You're turning 20 this year, if I recall correctly. And obviously, really fast growth like that can be difficult when you've been in business for a while. So I want to talk about how you've done that, but let me kind of start at the beginning. What led you to want to work for the company in the first place?
First of all, thank you for letting me be here and joining this podcast. It's very interesting. I appreciate the opportunity. So our 20th anniversary was actually in 2022. So we're about 22 years old. And where I started was I graduated from the University of North Florida just a little bit later in life. I was 29. And I went to that office, the career services, and said, okay, well, now I have an accounting degree. I would like a job, please. And so they're like, okay, well, you know, we've got Malone Air Charter is hiring. And I'm like, okay, great. Well, you know, I didn't really have a preference for the industry at the time because I just assumed anybody needs an accountant, I am there. Every industry needs them. So they sent me over to Innis Pelham, did my interview, and with Anna Broche, and she's now the city's CFO, which is really amazing to see her progress in her career. But she did my interview and decided that I was a good fit for their accounting needs at the time. And I walked into the building 14 years ago now and was so impressed. You know, airplanes are super cool, and I was in a hangar, and you know, it's a really, really energetic ambience when you walk in here. And I heard laughter in the background, and I was in from day one. I was like, okay, I can do this. You know what? I think it was day two where I'm like, I'm going to buy this company eventually. Like, I'm going to run it. This is great. This is family owned. This is growth. This is good people. I was excited day one.
What's fascinating to me about that is I'm sure there's lots of employees who are like, I wish I was in charge. But usually that comes out of a place of not liking the leadership. Mm-hmm. I know from other conversations we've had, you very much like the founders of the company and the leadership they provided. And one of the things that you liked about the company was that the culture they grew. So what made you decide so early that it was like, no, you wanted to own it?
I just really enjoyed the family atmosphere. And so the culture was a little bit stressful at the time. Now, aviation is actually stressful inherently, so you can't get away from that one. But the family values that the Malones brought to the table at the time, Mindy and Scott worked with Scott's stepmom and dad. So just the parents working together with the kids and then growing this thing from the ground up, I was always super impressed. And so every family or every person that worked for them became a family member. And so I wanted to be a part of that. And I want to be a part of continuing that, of growing that, of having more people experience that connection.
So you say 14 years. Obviously, that 14 years across the totality of it had a lot of change in the industry. But particularly if we look at the past, you know, 5 years, lots of challenges, lots of ups and downs. You were CFO of the company in the early days of the pandemic and then bought it in the midst of that. What was it like leading the company through a period where, I mean, private air travel was just shut down like everything else and then just exploded?
The industry seen nothing like it. We really haven't. And, you know, hopefully we don't do it again because it was rather hectic. So I remember in April of 2020, we shut down our operations. We were told to go home essentially like everybody was. And then it never happened. And all flights were removed and we were down for 6 weeks, which that was very scary because it's not like we were told, hey, you're going to be down for 6 weeks and then pop right back up and we're all good. You know, everybody was told 2 weeks, right? You go home for 2 weeks and we're all good. So, you know, we had our fingers crossed. And when the 2 weeks pass, you're kind of trying to figure out what are the options? Like, how can our company continue to survive without any revenue coming in? But fortunately, the Malones are very, very, very good with the way they set everything up. We are a relatively debt-free company. And so when the pandemic came in, we were able to keep that. So if you don't have a ton of debt, you could float a little bit longer. And then of course the government stuff helped too. But then the boom, the craziness that happened afterwards. So we really did benefit from people deciding that they wanted something a little less germy. So, private aircraft has less germs and less opportunities to get sick. So those that were flying first class could and did decide to afford to fly private instead. And I think it took a minute for the major airlines to come back anyway. Like, it wasn't even an option. So their first option was private flight. And when people discovered that, it went crazy. We had every day was filled. Every plane was filled. We said more and more often than we said yes, because there's no room. They're like, I'm sorry, we're booked for the next month. And it was great for growth. It was great for our industry in a lot of positive ways. We were able to grow our staff here. We were able to move to Jacksonville International from Craig, which is very helpful. And that growth also in a lot of ways is a little scary, because now you've got, people see there's money now in private travel and business aviation. Let me go try that. And so you've got the newcomers here, and you've got the tired pilots in the air, the tired ATC at the tower. So it was very bittersweet, a very big mix of really doing great and having these wonderful successes. But aviation, number one is safety, absolutely safety. So you had to watch, you can't burn out your pilots and you can't burn out your staff here, your mechanics. And so, yeah, that boom, I think we just came off of it. 2023 was more of a normalized year for our industry. And so those few years, though, they were crazy.
So there was, reading some of the stats on last year, where there was a pulling back of people doing private aviation, as you would expect. There were people who did it during the pandemic, and now airlines are back and they're rolling out new routes. But that had to have been an adjustment as well. It sounds like strategically, you knew that those times were not going to last. So it almost sounds like it was, this is good. It's a chance to catch your breath.
Absolutely. Yes. And everyone knew it. I mean, if you're paying any attention, there's no way. And so the aviation industry, specifically business aviation, really does have its highs and lows like anybody else. So you have your busy times, typically around the summers when people are vacationing, Christmas, Thanksgiving, the holidays, real busy travel season. But during 2021 and 2022, every day was peak season. Like, there was no even being able to tell when you're going to be busy. Like, we're busy all the time. But we are, like I said, we're low debt here, and the staff here has a lot of time as well. Like, yesterday it was actually our director of operations. It was his 20th work anniversary here. Like, he's been here for 20 years out of the 22 years we've been operating. And that was quite the celebration. We were able to thank him for all of his time here. And so most of our staff have been here for a while. And so that growth and support and that knowledge really helped us get through the times where it was kind of crazy.
A lot of institutional knowledge there.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned moving from Craig, which, for listeners not familiar with Jacksonville, is the executive airport here in Jacksonville, moving to Jacksonville International, which is obviously the main airport. That was one of the areas I had a question about, because I find that interesting, both as a sign of the company's growth, but also kind of a sign of growth of private aviation in Jacksonville overall, that there's enough business that it would make sense for you to be at Jackson International. As you look ahead, barring anything weird, like a pandemic, where do you see the Jacksonville private aviation industry going? Is it booming? Are you getting more flights to the Bahamas? Where is it going?
I do think Jacksonville is experiencing some growth, some unprecedented growth. We have a lot of conversations with different real estate developers and about what they're doing and what their needs are, and bringing people in for that kind of growth here in Jacksonville. So I do think that as those sites are being developed, as our downtown is getting its changes, like, as these positive things are happening, you do have people that are here. They're like, they still need their flight over to, usually it's like Dulles. They'll go to Washington for a meeting. They'll go to the mountains for a meeting. And then you've got the executives here that like to have their travel for their vacations, like the Bahamas or the Colorado for skiing. But the more that we get those type of executives here in Jacksonville, which it seems like it's increasing, the busier we get that private business aviation.
Are there things that would help companies like yours grow as you look around the airport? So, Jacksonville International ranks high on the various J.D. Power surveys. It is considered a well-run airport. It doesn't necessarily have the most connections. I think the airport people will tell you that, which is something else that private provides. You can fly direct places that you might not be able to otherwise. Are there things that would make a business like yours be able to grow more that could be done on the aviation or government side?
I think being able to bring in the companies that have those higher executive roles or the companies that have the travel needs just inherently in their business plan. Like if they have, let's say they're the Southeast region of something and they need to be able to go visit their different branches, we are utilized quite often for things of that nature. Like, hey, I just need to pop over to Tallahassee for a meeting and they come right back. And you know, their time is real valuable. So being able to bring in the larger companies or the companies that have the travel needs to go to the different branches would certainly help my business. And my business, so we manage aircraft for owners. So I manage the aircraft for individuals. And when they're not using it, I'm able to use it to charter folks across the nation. So it's kind of twofold. So anybody that is looking for their private aircraft to be managed, they would come to me. So having people that own aircraft, you know, maybe jump into Jacksonville. I think Ponte Vedra is seeing an increase of those types of people. I think Jacksonville is as well. And then the big airport, while it's not very close to Ponte Vedra, and that's not a perk to drive all the way out here, we do have the benefits of those long runways. So we moved from the smaller airport to Jacksonville International to have that safety factor. So those long runways are just much safer and a little bit better for traveling as far as just the plane's mission goes.
The business jets, they've been getting a little bit larger, haven't they? The mid-sized jets are getting more popular, and I can see wanting to land at a place with a little more runway ahead of you.
Yeah, it just keeps it safe. You know, there's a lot of people in our industry that maybe try to go, you know, take off when they are a little bit heavy or land when they're not, you know, supposed to. You know, unfortunately, you've got the runway excursions and incursions that, you know, they're a factor. That's something that we like to avoid for, I mean, of course. So it definitely helps that. And I would say the midsize is pretty popular. You know, your CJ4s is a light jet that can do the mission of most of the mids. So between your CJ4 and then your Citation Excel, which we have one of each of those, there is some popularity in that size. You could fit 8 people in there and almost stand up and be able to go where you need to go.
Christine Kirk joining us. Next, she offers an aviation outlook for the year ahead as Florida Business Minds continues. People's Gas, working with businesses across Florida to lower energy usage and costs with efficient natural gas. Get cashback energy conservation rebates when you install new natural gas equipment. Learn more at peoplesgas.com/bizrebates.
So we talked about Jacksonville, but obviously there are listeners to this podcast around the state, and aviation is not a local thing exactly. As you look at the industry overall, either in Florida or nationally, where do you see 2024 going?
2024 is going to see some continued leveling out. So something super interesting that happened during the pandemic or post-pandemic was the folks that flew charter, a lot of them did that next level up. And they said, okay, well, I can afford to fly charter, but all these charter companies are busy and I'm not getting the flights I want. I'm going to go buy an airplane. And so you have a major increase of private airplane owners out in just in the air and in the industry that we have not seen in a while. And they still have them now. And I think my guess is that within the next couple of years, when the need isn't as high to be able to have their own aircraft and the cost of owning an aircraft is kind of high, that may change. But for now, the aircraft themselves are quite high priced because they're still low inventory. And you've got a lot of owners out there that just have a jet now. And that was, I thought that was an interesting kind of conclusion to the craze of the pandemic.
It will be interesting to see how that plays out. If there's more jets for you to manage, or, you know, how when people decide, see the old thing they say about a boat, that the happiest day is when you buy it and when you sell it. I'm sure there's something similar with private aviation, it would feel.
Yeah, aviation definitely, it's a lot of money in and a lot of money out is what I tell people. So owning an aircraft is not cheap, but if you travel, the marker I give everybody, if they're wondering if charters for them or if aircraft ownership is for them, if you travel privately for over, it's between 75 to 100 hours a year, I would say 75, then owning an aircraft would make more sense for you because you're going to pay as much per hour for this aircraft that you're owning that you're paying for charter now. And there's a lot more autonomy with being able to say, I want to go here, I want to go here, not to mention a tax, you know, bonus depreciation that they're still doing. I think it's like at 60% this year, but there's a lot of benefits to owning your own aircraft. And that's what I would say. Anybody that flies over 75 hours a year.
That's the accountant who walked in there, 14 years ago, who's answering that question right there.
Yeah, I do numbers. I do. Yep. I talk in numbers.
Which actually kind of leads to my final question. A lot of ups and downs over the past 14 years. The industry is different. The company is different than mm-hmm. when you first walked in there. Now that you are the owner, as you look back, is it what you thought it would be like? What are your thoughts now?
Oh, man, I have learned so much. So I've purchased the company about 3 years ago now. So 3 years at the yoke, and it is a crazy learning curve. It is so interesting. I still love that I did it. I love the people here, and that's why I did it, because I want to see the personal growth for everybody here and to be able to offer opportunities for their personal growth is why I even decided to go for it. So, but the things I've learned in the past 3 years, like, it is crazy cool. It is insanely hard to own your own company, but I wouldn't change it for the world. It's definitely worth it. It's just, it's an experience.
When we were getting ready for the recording and you turned off your after hours phone, particularly in this business, always having to be on has to be an interesting challenge.
It is. It's 24/7. It is 24/7. And I have to make sure that I give myself time to have that mental break. And I am so blessed with this team that I have here where I can. I'll say, okay, you guys have the reins for the next 24 hours. And they actually do more often than that. They are very dependable. I have great people here, but you don't leave it at the door. You take it home with you because you worry about it. You worry about the company. You worry about the people. You're thinking about the next day and the next steps. And it's hard to turn your brain off.
So going from being an employee to being an entrepreneur and being an owner, is there one lesson, one key takeaway that you would offer to other people who want to follow in similar footsteps?
I think the best choice that I've made from going from employee to owner would be I surround myself with people that know what they're doing. And I think that that is a very important thing to remember when you're running your own company, because it's very easy to worry about every single aspect, every day-to-day detail. But what I can do and what I've done is I put the right people in the right places where they can do their job. I empower them to do their job, and that makes my job easier. So just a reminder to do that. Like, now you have to put people in place and then back away. It's hard to do.
Wonderful. Well, that was everything I had to ask you. I really do appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. And it's going to be fun to watch the next 22 years as the company continues to grow.
Thank you. I really appreciate your time. This is fun.
Thank you for downloading Florida Business Minds, presented by the Business Journals of Florida. Brought to you by TECO People's Gas, at the heart of Florida's energy.